If there's anything comes of this, it'll only be the Lord that does it. That's all I can tell you. This is a read a verse and holler message. That's all I got. This read a verse, holler, read a verse, holler. And I appreciate this church wanting to reach out to people, everybody. You know, God wants everybody to be saved. God wants every boy, girl, man, and woman to walk on streets of gold. God doesn't want one boy, girl, man, and woman to miss heaven. The Bible says God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God is not willing that any should perish. That's what my Bible says. So I just believe it. It doesn't matter. I don't care if I'm in Angola Penitentiary with my trailer. It doesn't matter where I am, or I'm in Zambia, or I'm in the Philippines, or I'm over here knocking on doors in certain kinds of neighborhoods. Anybody behind that door, it doesn't matter who they are, what they are. I'll never forget that lady who wanted to get on my trailer with her. She was they're devil worshipers. What do they call them anyway? Her priestess and her, you know, I figured she wanted to get on my trailer and hear the story so they could measure me for a doll to stick needles in or something like that, you know. And of course, she's welcome. And, you know, if you want to know the kind of ministry I've got, fall. When did we go to Raceland? That was in the spring. That's as deep in Louisiana as I've ever been with my ministry. Now, Raceland's right down there by Houma, and that's 100% Catholic Cajun, 100%. Now, when you're going into the fairgrounds, you can see a big 18-wheeler pulling up with Bud Light. So you can kind of know what they're going to be doing. They're going to be boiling crawfish. They're going to be, it was called the Fête du Monde, which means the Festival of the World, okay? So I'm going to the Festival of the World and preach the gospel. They're drinking beer. They're boiling crawfish. They're dancing out there, and I'm on the midway. And we're passing little tickets out. It's got this big trailer. It says Awesome Adventure for Kids Show, Dinosaurs and the Flood of Noah. And, you know, they're getting on the trailer, beer and all, with their kids. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to tell them how to be saved, every one of them, face to face. And I'm going to tell you what I tell every one of them. It doesn't matter. Tattooed all up, big earrings, the whole nine yards. It doesn't matter. I tell them face to face, God loves you. God created you. God made you with a body, a soul, a spirit. You are going to live forever, one place or the other. And God created you for heaven, and He wants you to walk on streets of gold forever and ever. Now, that's what God made you for. God created you for heaven. He created you for Himself. Now, what are you going to do with that? I'm going to tell them how to be saved. Some of them get mad. Some of them cuss you out. Some walk off. All kind of stuff. That's okay. That's what God called me to do. I'm a kids preacher. God put that in my heart. I'm at peace with God when I'm out in these places. I'm in my element. When I'm in a carnival, I'm in my element. Right there on the midway. You got it, man. No accolades, no nothing. They don't know who I am. I don't know who they are, but I know that God loves them and cares for them. That's my ministry. Wherever God opens up the door for me to go. Oh, I forgot to tell you, I'm 79 years old. How you doing? How you doing? Some of y'all afraid of COVID? I was at the Mississippi State Fair when COVID hit, shut down all the fairs all over America, too, and I went to both of them. And put 20 people at a time on that trailer. Hello! Man, if God can't keep you, nobody can keep you, friend. You get smack in the middle of the will of God preaching the gospel, and God will use you. And I'm telling you, you're sitting there, and there is no telling who's sitting here right now. No telling. The power that's in this room right here, if every boy, girl, man, or woman in this room yielded to God and said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done, woo! Just stand back. There is no telling what's going to happen. Amen. What is fear keeping you from doing, friend? What is it keeping you from doing? You know, it's an amazing thing. Some of these young people I talk to, those, who was that? Oh, yeah, that young man. Hey, what are you going to do with your life? He was this smart, nice-looking young man. What are you going to do with your life? I'm going to college. Well, I know a little bit about that. Oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to college for? I didn't ask him to be a preacher. No, I just said, what are you going? He said, to be an engineer. I know a little bit about that. What are you going to be an engineer for? He said, so I can make money. Well, I know about that too. Why do you want to make money? So I can retire and go to the mission field. What? Where did you get that? Where in this book did you get that? That's as humanist as I've ever heard. The scripture says what you need to do is go to college, get a big degree, make a lot of money, and then when you retire, I'll send you to the mission field. I won't have to take care of you because you'll have all this money to do it. That's not the way God planned it. Now, friend, God wants to use you. I don't care if you're 80 years old or plus or 50 years old. Man, you're a spring chicken. I mean 60, spring chicken. Now, remember, carnival life is not easy. But when you're doing it in the middle of the will of God, it's the grandest thing that ever happened on the planet. When you see tens of thousands of people hear the gospel, hear the real truth of the blood of Jesus Christ over and over. And then we give them the creation story that God created everything in 600 days and then destroyed the world with a great flood, and the flood of Noah produced the fossil record. Oh my goodness, you talk about throwing some smart bomb in the devil's territory. That's exactly what we're doing. And God wants to use you. And I just want to tell you, it's been a good trip. I've been doing it, and you know, I just didn't know any better. I counseled nobody when God spoke to my heart. I counseled nobody. Now, that's not to say that that was right, but in my case, it was probably the only thing that would have worked. Because if anybody would have said anything, like, hey, bud, where's the money going to come from? I'd have said, well, hadn't thought about that. Does it just come out of the air? You know, I mean, God's going to take care of, well, how does it work? I had not a clue. And I just stepped out by faith 47 years ago, and God's blessed more. I cannot in my wildest imagination comprehend what's happened. It's like shockwaves, and I look back and I see the field and I see the harvest, and I just said, oh my goodness, I didn't know, Lord. I had no idea when I gave my life to you and quit my job and cold turkey and just stepped out by faith. I did it. I didn't know any better to do this. And then you just led me step at a time, and look what's happened over the years. And that's what God wants to do and use you. God wants to use you. Dear friend, I'm telling you, every time I get in front of a bunch of young people or just like those little boys and girls in junior church this morning, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, who knows who's in front of me? Who knows who's in front of me? You know, the Bible says children are like arrows. What do you do with arrows? You shoot that sucker, man. Shoot it! They're smart bombs for God. God wants to use them to the glory of God. Go shoot it off, man, to the glory of God. They may never come back. We'll see them on the other side. Now, look, I love America, but that last song really got to me. And I know you do, too. I know you love America. There's the multitudes of folks that have died and shed their blood that we might do what we're doing right here, right now. The multitudes that have done that, young people, old folks, that have shed their blood and suffered and gave their lives so that we could have freedom right here tonight. Right. And you know, I wonder, why is it that when we preach on giving yourself to the Lord and reaching others and turning your back on this world and stuff, why is it everybody takes back and repulsed? Well, man, we just went through a World War I, a World War II, and we did it on a foreign soil. We didn't even know what we was going blindfolded out there to somehow save this nation like it is. And now we're fixing to lose it for sure from within and not from without. And why is it that we're in this great struggle that people are not volunteering and said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. What can I do? Why aren't people lining up and saying, I'll be bus captains, I'll be Sunday school teachers, I'll be... I mean, look, we're fixing to lose this thing. I mean, it's going to take nothing short of the grace of God moving in a mighty way. But you can do something now. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd bless the message, whatever we got here. And Lord, you'd use it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to the book of Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. I got this brand new Bible from y'all last year. I hadn't used it a whole lot. I hadn't got it broke in or anything, but I got it and I thank you for it. Isaiah 59. In verse 19, and it says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. And he makes this statement. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Oh my goodness. Now you know, I do not know the full context of that verse, when it's taken place. And my pastor is such a good historian, he could tell you. But that, when I read it, it's like it's newspaper headlines of today. When the enemy, it didn't say if the enemy. It didn't say if the enemy. It says when the enemy shall come in like a flood. Have you ever been through a flood? Y'all don't know what a flood is. You need to come down there to South Louisiana where we lost 100,000 homes and 60,000 cars. Went under a flood 5 feet deep. Our church went under. My ministry went under. Incredible. We got 30 inches of rain in 2 days. It's incredible. And how this black, filthy, contaminated water literally invaded everything. And there's people still down there in South Louisiana without any walls. This just got studs because they hadn't had the money to put it back together again. When the enemy comes in like a flood. And I just got the title, when the enemy, not if, but when. We are in now, as we sit here, a knockdown, drag out of a fight for the soul of this nation right now. Now, friend, I'm going to tell you, the party is over. Romper room is over. This conflict has commenced. This is a conflict. You know, I'm not a warmonger. I'm a war buff. It's like I was born too late. You know, I watched Gettysburg. And you know, the Civil War and all that is so awful. But the Battle of Gettysburg was won because of one man on one hill, that teacher from Maine. In the incredible circumstances, but they were all in those people, and they would charge up the hill, and the cannons were firing, and the bullets would, they would still charge up the hill. They still would do that. Incredible courage that they had. They were in the conflict of their life. We are in the conflict for the soul of this country right now. And friend, if you can't see it, you're blinded. You're blinded. You know, We have had the LG life. We've got the live good life. We've got the 401ks and all of that stuff. I'm not against that. I'm just saying, and it's like I got into the Independent Baptist in the 70s from the Southern Baptist, and you know, it was a conviction on my heart. And we started a church and all that, and we were riding the wave, buddy. We were riding that wave like surfing in the 70s. Boys and girls are getting saved. Men and women is getting saved. We was doing buses. We was putting 100 kids on a bus. Nobody knew any better. We couldn't do that, but we did it. We was having the time of our life. I mean, buddy, we was riding that wave. And you know, but some of us got to making money, and that's okay. But you know, it's like we got used to this freedom. We're free. We're not persecuted for what we believe. You know, now the Roe versus Wade had happened. But we sit back and let them kill 60 million before we stop that one. And God just may say, okay, 60 million, step forward and die. I'll do that, and we'll pay for that blood. Right. It could happen. And maybe it is happening. I don't want to be gloom and doom. I'm for this country, and I'm for God doing a work for this country. But it's going to take boys and girls and men and women that'll step forward, just like they stepped forward in World War II. They stepped forward and gave their lives. Now, would you do that? Somebody said, you don't have anything worth living for that you don't have something worth dying for. Now, what do you got to die for? You tell me. You tell me. What do you got to die for? Is this country worth dying for? It's worth living for. Now, when the enemy, you and I, must be on high alert, we are in the middle of this incredible battle right now. Even in our own personal lives, you can see the attacks that are happening like the great falling away. And we, as boys and girls and men and women that are saved, are in defense and protection of all those things and all those people that are under our authority. The enemy. When the enemy. Now, friend, listen to me. The enemy. We got an enemy. We got the world, the flesh, the devil. But, buddy, the devil wants to jerk your arm off, beat you over the head with it. This is one bad guy. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant. And friend, if you've ever been around a real lion, a big one, and that sucker roars, it'll make your skin crawl. It'll make your skin crawl. And you can hear it for miles. It says, and be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You may be next. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions were accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, friend, I'm telling you, our enemy, like a roaring lion, and I mean, it's like he's being loosed. All the demons of hell are being loosed all over this country, all over the world. We are in, I believe, this great conflict. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And just like I messed up this other day. I got a call, and somebody punched my button. It wasn't good. And I lost it. Now, you ever lost your temper? I know none of you guys do that. But, buddy, I did. And it wasn't good. And I said some things I shouldn't. I didn't cuss or nothing like that. But I just said some stuff I shouldn't have to somebody I love. And it was just one of those days. Now, guess what? That's not flesh and blood I come up against. That wasn't flesh and blood, friend. No, 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 no. That's demonic powers. And the devil says, I got to get a hold of this guy here, and I got to get him to lose what he's got. And all I got to do is punch his button in the right place. And he did. And I wasn't walking with God, and I lost it. Of course, I repented and got right with that. But you know, you don't come against flesh and blood. When somebody's talking about you in this church, that's not flesh and blood, friend. I tell you, all this church split stuff, hey, that's orchestrated. That's orchestrated by the darkness of this world, our enemy. What do you you think he is, friend? He's an enemy. He hates this place. He hates you. He hates America. Y'all all right? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, and principalities is princes of palities. There's different kinds of demons over different places and different powers against powers. And by the way, that's supernatural power against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The enemy. The enemy. When the enemy comes in like a flood, and he has come in like a flood, what are we to do? What are you and I to do? The enemy is also the world system. Friend, the world system. The Bible for Satan is the world. That's his Bible out there. The billboards, the TVs, all of that is his. All the political processes have been invaded by demonic spirits. All the political things that we've depended on for the years have been invaded by this incredible. The music of the world system is inspired by demons and devils. Why in the world we're in this great conflict? Are you going to be friends with the music that the devil's putting out in the world, in the world system? You have the Holy Spirit in you, the Spirit of God. And here we are in this great conflict for the soul of this country, and you're going to turn on your radio and try to be spiritual and have Satan's music come on. Now, friend, you want to get on that a while? This white boy's got rhythm. I get a set of drums up here and make you do stuff you're not supposed to do. Go ahead. I get a set of drums up here and call all kind of demonic spirits up. How you doing? You want to put a set of drums right there? That's when I don't come back. That's when I don't come back. Now, friend, listen to me. We're in a knockdown dragout with the enemy. The enemy. And one of the enemy's, one of his soul, the way he implements what he is his music. The enemy's music, the world system. The world system belongs to Satan. Do you know the first cuss words that were ever on a movie was Gone with the Wind? That's the first cuss word ever put on film. And they paid like $15,000 fine for that. Now what do we got? It all started with one cuss word. And the dike was broke. Now it's like sewer. It's this incredible what's happening. Satanic world system, our political system, has been totally corrupted with evil. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever will be a friend of the world is enemy of God. Now you got to figure what that means. Somebody said, well, it's just your interpretation. Well, go ahead. Right. I'm going to tell you what God the Holy Spirit tells me. And friend, I'm telling you, we're not supposed to be friends with the system, the satanic system. Right. Now, that's not going to change. It's not going to change until King Jesus comes back. And he's not back yet. And we're here to fight this system while we're here. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Right. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, if I were going to serve God, I definitely wouldn't want to be his enemy, would you? Right. Do you think, you know, some people say, well, the devil's fighting me. How do you know it's not God? How do you know it's not God? How do you know it's not God? And friend, I'm telling you what, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. That's the scripture. So we shouldn't have anything to do with worldliness. What is it, man? Dress. What does the world dress? What are they doing? They're tattooing their body up. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. What do you want to mess with that for, friend? That's God's Holy Spirit. You want to put graffiti on these walls? Put graffiti on these walls? How would you like to do that? Then get the temple of God and put a tattoo on it. A mark of Satan. Go ahead. Make somebody mad? I told somebody, I've got a tattoo. It's on my heart. And God put it there to reach boys and girls the gospel. Not on the outside, on the inside. And God put it there. God put it there. The enemy, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Friend, it's just as plain as day. You and I have fallen in love with this world. You and I are materialists. We love material things. We're so used to this. We're drugged with the materialism of this world. And friend, listen, I'm going to tell you, God's just going to say, you know, he might just say, I'm going to take all your toys away. I'm going to take them all away. Now then, what are we going to do? You let the internet go down. You let the grid go down. See what we do. See what you and I do. Let this grid go down. Then what are we going to do? What are you and I going to do? Going to be a third world country in a week, in a day? Now God wants to use you and me. This is a battle. This is a raging battle we're in. Our world's been turned upside down. John 9:4 has literally come to pass. I must work the works of him that sent me. While is it the day? The night cometh when no man can work. I preached that for years, but I never thought God would shut the world down. But he did. God shut the world down. He shut the ministry down. He did. God allowed it to happen. John 9:4. Now, friend, I'll tell you what, I stood in front of that ark over there in Kentucky. I stood in front of that ark with my mouth open, looking at that most incredible thing, the largest wooden structure on planet Earth, and I said this as I talked to God. Now, Lord, why in the world did you have this thing built now? It's never been built before, but the original, this is the exact scale, not a scale model, the exact copy of the one that's in the Bible. Why did God have the largest wooden structure made on the world, which is the Ark of Noah, and why did he do it now? And why did he do it in the United States of America? Do you realize when Noah built that ark, there was nothing bigger than that. And that was a visual aid. And what was that visual aid of? That visual aid was the coming judgment of God. Was it not? Was it not? And he got out there and preached, and there that thing was, and had one door on it. And buddy, you had to get on that door. If you didn't get on the door, you were going to be destroyed. And he preached, and he preached, and the people saw this incredible ark. And when I saw that, I said, Lord, why did you do it now? It's because it's judgment time, friend. I'm telling you, we've gone too far. We've crossed the Rubicon. Friend, I'm telling you, judgment's coming. And here's this ark, a picture of salvation. Get everybody you can on that ark. It's time. It's time. Friend, I'm telling you what, we're blinded if we think we're going to go on in this party having a good time on this earth when Jesus Christ is fixing to judge this place right here if he hadn't already started. You can't believe it. If you're looking at this woke transgender Disney cartoons, men like women and women like men, and when they start trying to get little boys and girls to pervert them, and they're oh my goodness, God's gonna do something, friend. God's gonna do something. He's not gonna let them get by with this, friend. You better watch it. God's not gonna let it happen. They're gonna start putting little dresses on little boys, and oh no, buddy, what they're trying to do is pervert that child before you can give them the gospel. How you doing? How you doing? Now, friend, I'm telling you, there ought to be something in every red-blooded man in here saying, you know, I'm going to do something, buddy. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. Oh, what if they come? Hey, buddy, the train's coming. There it is. It's coming right at us. That sucker's coming right down our track. Our train's going this way. That train's going this way. we're fixing, there's going to be a crash. What are we going to do? Jump ship? Jump ship? Jump ship? Get out of here so you don't get hurt. Oh, really? Oh, really? Is that what you're going to do? Now, the scripture says different. We're at the end of this age. We find ourselves in the middle of the last great struggle between the kingdom of darkness and kingdom of light. The party for planet Earth is over. Battle has commenced. What must I do? I'm glad you asked the question. So let me give you the answer, okay? Now, we read in our scripture, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, it has done that. That's happened. That's happening right now. The flood tide of evil on this world, in America especially, right here, it's come. The demonic forces, the Spirit of the Lord, now watch this, that's the Holy Spirit of God, shall lift up a standard against him. Amen. Oh, really? So when this happens, and it's happening right now, God, the Holy Spirit, is going to lift up a standard against him. Yeah. Guess what the standard is? You and me. You and I are the standard. And I read about standard bearers in those old battles and stuff, and how important that standard bearer was. In fact, those Roman standard bearers didn't have any weapons, I don't think. And they were in the compound close to the general, and buddy, they were up front, and they were to keep that standard at all costs and never ever let it fall. Just like in Mount Sarabachi, when they raised that standard of the American flag on top of Sarabachi during Iwo Jima. Oh my goodness, we are now in the conflict of the ages. So if you would, let me finish this thing up. All right. Ephesians 6. If you go to Ephesians 6. All right, let's read a few verses of Ephesians 6. What shall we do? This is what I come down to, Ephesians 6. Now, oh my goodness. Here we go. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, aren't you glad? Amen. Finally, my brethren, that's you. That's me. Be strong in the Lord. Is there anything wrong with courage? Is there anything wrong with courage? Is there anything wrong with not being a snowflake? Are we the Oscar Mayer generation? Be strong in the Lord. Now, how are you going to be strong in the Lord if you're wimping out? How are you going to be strong in the Lord if you're afraid to take a stand for Christ? How are you going to be strong in the Lord? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. It's by the grace of God we take our stand. It's by the grace of God we do what we're supposed to do. What are we supposed to do when this flood tide comes? Put on the whole armor of God. Suit up! Amen. Suit up! We're in a battle. Suit up! Amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to, what's that word? Amen. So the whole point of the message is this: God wants you to take a stand. God wants you to stand when the flood tide comes. God wants you to stand when it all comes loose. God wants you to stand, and you're to stand for the Lord against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the work, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, friend, when it all push comes to shove, we're fixing to find out who's on the Lord's side and who's not. Who's on the world's side, who's on Satan's side, and who's on God's side. When darkness comes, when the lights are out, when evil invades, what are we supposed to do? I'll tell you what we're supposed to do. I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. You're going to have to stand like a man. You're going to have to take a stand like a man, take a stand like a lady, in the power of God, and having done all, to stand. Now, bless God, anybody can do that. Anybody can save and do that. Whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Buddy, I'm not a very good Christian sometimes, but bless God, I want to stand for Jesus Christ. Stand for him. Stand for him. Stand up for him. Stand up for him. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Why should I stand for Jesus? I tell you why. Because he stood for me when he drug that cross down through the city. He stood for me on that whipping post as that whipped him. I was supposed to have been there. He took my place on that cross when they put that gibbet up in front of everybody and let it drop. He was stark naked up there, humiliated in front of the whole world. He did that for me. He did that for you. That was your cross. That was my cross. Why should I stand for Jesus? I tell you why, because he stood for you, son. He stood for you. 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 I'm ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Take a stand for Jesus Christ. Let the whole world turn against Christ. You stand up for him. You stand up for him. That's the way we fight a spiritual warfare. You fight by taking a stand for Christ. He gives you the grace to stand. But bless God, we stand. We don't cower. We don't jump. We just stand, having done all to stand. I tell you why you ought to stand for Jesus. You ought to stand for Jesus because he took a stand for you. Where should you stand for Jesus? I'll tell you where you ought to stand for Jesus. Most difficult place on planet Earth to stand for Jesus, in your house. In your house. You go home and stand for Jesus. In your house. What they do, they praise God on Sunday, cuss God on. Oh, watch out now. What do you do in your home? Behind closed doors. Yeah, you go to your house and take a stand for Jesus. I'll tell you how to take a stand for Jesus. When well, it's not a TV anymore. Well, we got TVs, but you got your computer. And how do you take a stand for Jesus? Well, I'll tell you, I know one guy, what he did. He took a stand for Jesus. He got his cell phone, and he just tossed it. That's all right. That thing got control for you, or control over you. That wickedness and that evil starts coming up against you. Hey, why don't you take a stand for Jesus Christ against that? When you go home, you take a stand for Jesus Christ. The most difficult place to stand for Christ is in your own home. My goodness, things go on behind closed doors we don't know anything about. I mean, the warfare is going on in the home. Take a stand for Christ in your home. Men. Take a stand for Christ in your home. You are the spiritual head of your house. You're not some big kingpin. You are the watchman at the gate. Every man in here is the watchman at the gate in his home. And friend, I'm telling you, you ought to have a great big old bat. Son, that evil one wants to come in your house. You're going to knock on out. You're not going to let it happen. You're not going to let it happen. Take a stand in your own house. The most difficult place to stand for Jesus is for the wife to submit to her husband and take a stand for Jesus Christ. It's quiet in here. It's quiet in here. It's quiet in here. I love you in Jesus' name. Can I tell you? I read about these battles and these conflicts And there's some 18-year-old, 20-year-olds that were heroes, that had more courage, and they died and shed their blood for the cause that they were fighting for. Now, friend, God's not asked us to shed blood yet. We may have to, okay? But right now, you don't have to shed much blood to go into the house and take control of the house, that God's Spirit would rule and reign in your home, that your home would be holy. Your home would be... This pulpit right here is holy. This pulpit's holy. Perfect? No. Holy? Yes. This pulpit belongs to God. You don't see anybody rolling dice on this or playing cards or nothing. No. It's holy. Your house belongs to God. That thing that overshadows that roof right there, everything under that roof belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. If it doesn't, it should. Everything in that house, that means the children in the house belong to God. The children don't tell mom and daddy what to do. No. No. The Bible way is a man's the head of the house, and then the wife is under him, and then the children's under them in direct order. Satan wants to come in and divide the home. He wants to divide the home. He divides the home by what's the dress in the home. He divides the home by what people... Oh, no, you can't. It's not divided. No, we're not going to do that in our home. That's the citadel. That's where Jesus rules and reigns in that home. The most difficult place to stand is stand in the home. The next most difficult place to stand is where you work. Where you work. Now go ahead. You just look me in the face now. I want to tell you. I used to run a little business and they wanted me to drink. Yep, they sure did. And I was the CEO of that new little old business, and the director of sales, a big guy, he stood at my desk, looked down at me, and said, "We're going to have a party." I'm in charge, okay? I said, "I'm not going to do it." He said, "You got to do it." I said, "I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to spend a dime on liquor." Now, this is before I went to ministry. Landon, see, God put me through the test to see if I had enough guts to stand up against alcohol. Uh-huh, go ahead. How are y'all doing? And did you know what? It could have cost me my job, but I was ready to pay the price. And guess what? I told him I'm not going to do it. I had a Bible on my desk. He said, "You're the only manager in all Monsanto that's got a Bible on their desk." I said, "You got a picture of a naked woman on the wall in your office. You got a gospel, I got a gospel. And it's totally different." And I took a stand for Jesus Christ right there on the spot. Could have cost me my job, but it didn't. Because God called me later to leave that place, and here I am. I had to take a stand. Did you know what? Joseph did in his job? Joseph had a job, and there's a beautiful woman in that job. Wasn't his boss, but it's his boss's wife. And she said, "Come lie with me." And did you know what? Joseph had enough conviction, enough courage and gumption in his heart that he would not lay with that woman. And he very well knew that if he didn't lay with her, that he could go to jail or his head be cut off by Potiphar, because he was the chief executioner. Now you tell me you got courage. You know, you worship football players and basketball players and all that. They'd most of them sleep with anybody, anytime, anywhere. But guess what? Here's Joseph. You don't even hear about him. Guess what he did? He turned his back on a beautiful woman. Why? Because he took a stand where he worked. He took a stand for when he worked for the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? By the way, you got anything worth dying for? You got anything worth dying for? If I'd asked you, what would you die for? What would you say? "I'd die for my wife." Huh? What would you die for? What if they lined us up all in here, said, "Everybody says you're saved, line up in there. We're going to get AK-47, mow you down." What would you do? Well, I hope I'd stand. That's where we ought to be. Now, friend, I love you in Jesus' name. The party's over.
Right.
Romper room is over.
Right.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Right.
Why haven't we suffered? Draw your conclusions. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if we're not suffering, that means maybe we're not living like we ought to live. We're looking just like everybody else. We're smelling like them, looking like them, dressing like them, drinking like them. The most difficult place to stand is your home. The next most difficult place to stand is your work, where you live, your work. The next most difficult place to stand is your church. Your church. How do you stand for Jesus at church? Show up. Show up. Show up. How do you stand for Jesus at church? Don't jump ship. Don't jump ship. Everybody's jumping ship. Hey, man, we're in the fight of our life. Stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. Don't jump the ship. Now, friend, I want to tell you face to face, let the COVID come back. I'm coming to church. Now, you do what you want to do. The government one day, here's what they're going to say. Y'all all stay home. They're going to say it again. Y'all all stay home. That's against the scripture now. We're going to have to decide. We're going to do what the government said. You're going to do what the scripture says. Forsake not the assembling of yourself. In China, they meet illegally, but they still meet. The strongest Christians in the world are in China. They're in under communism, and they're still living for God. Don't you think you and I could do that? By the grace of God, stand for Jesus at church. How do you stand for Jesus at church? I'll tell you how. Stand up and volunteer to do whatever the preacher says needs to be done to get the job done. Come on, just take a stand for Christ. We're in the battle, the spiritual battle. It's raging now. We need the workers. Where are the workers? They're afraid. What are you afraid of, friend? We're fixing to go to heaven. Jesus is fixing to come to get us out of this place. I'm going to tell you face to face, I do not claim to be a great Christian or even a real good one lots of times. Ask Landon. He knows all about it. But you know what? I don't want to wimp out. I really don't. I don't want to wimp out. I don't know about you. What if everybody walks off? Did I tell you about the old boy that was standing in front of Caesar? I don't know, I don't know if he's a martyr, I don't know what. And Caesar said, well, what if the whole world is against what you do? Then he said, me and God's against the whole world. Now, friend, I'm telling you, God wants you to take a stand. And having done all to stand, there's nothing difficult about standing when you got the grace of God giving you grace to stand. When Jesus went before you and multitudes that went to the martyrs. I mean, you read Fox's Book of Martyrs. You read these people that have, by the millions, have stood for Christ and paid the price. And they did it gladly. Open your Bible. Let me, Hebrews, right quick. Hebrews. Let me get my pages here. Hold on. Hebrews. 11th chapter, and then I want you to turn to verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness was made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having providing something better for us, that they without should be made perfect. There was a missionary to South Africa, and the communists were taking over South Africa, and his little village asked him to come out and give them a talk before the armed militia came out and took their Bibles away. And he said, they asked the missionary, what should we do with the Bibles? Should we hold on to the Bibles or should we turn them over? And they say, if we hold on to our Bibles, we lose our lives. He said, you only have this one choice. Jesus is either Lord of your life or not Lord at all. You've got to choose. Who's first in your life? Is Jesus first in your life or last? He never plays second fiddle with anybody. He'll only be Lord if you make him Lord of your life. Let's bow our heads, nobody looking around. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you'd speak to hearts. I pray that, Lord, if there's somebody here saved, they'd get saved. But especially, I pray for those that are saved. I pray for those that are saved right now, but they're fearful. They're afraid to turn their life over to Christ. They're afraid to volunteer and get involved in this incredible battle that we're in right now. Please speak to hearts, Lord. Please speak to hearts, I pray. Now, as we've got our heads bowed and eyes closed, God spoke to your heart. I just want to pray for you. If God spoke to your heart, I just want to raise your hand. God spoke to your heart, just raise your hand. God spoke to your heart, just raise your hand. Now, Lord, you see the hands. I pray that your will be done in every life, and we'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Could we stand, please?